ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयामुदीरय
ततो जयामुदीरय
नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भावती नैष्टिकी
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च
नन्दगोपाकुमाराय
गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Great fortune to be preparing for this most auspicious occasion of Sri Nisingadev Chaturdasi Mahamahotsava. And it's my great honor and pleasure to be here in Richmond with so many wonderful devotees. So next Saturday is Nisingadev Chaturdasi. So in preparation for that great auspicious occasion next Saturday, we begin to prepare our consciousness today so we can be thinking about the Nisingadev Chaturdasi. I know a couple of days ago I downloaded about 20 different lectures about the Nisingadev Chaturdasi and hoping to listen to them all before the Nisingadev Chaturdasi comes. That's one way I like to celebrate each Vaishnava festival, or Titi as we call it. So I recommend that to all of you. Download so many lectures from so many wonderful devotees about Nisingadev. Listen in your cars, listen in your phones, and just hear continuously. Shunvata Swakatam Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtanam Vinoti Suritsatam. By hearing constantly about the Lord and the Lord's associates, and the heart becomes very much purified. So, devotees asked Srila Prabhupada about if there are any other festivals on the Vaishnava calendar. Srila Prabhupada had given so many festivals on the calendar. Prabhupada said, I could give you a festival every day. And that's actually the spiritual world. Adhyatma Jagat. Where every word is a song, every step is a dance, and every day is a festival. So we're kind of practicing now, Abhyasa Yogena Tato, we're practicing to go back to the spiritual world. So part of this practice is festivals. And everybody loves festivals. And there are so many materialistic festivals, it's just a dim reflection of the festivals in the spiritual world. A couple of days ago, I was sitting on the bank of the James River, looking at the tree. And the tree was showing a reflection. And on the reflection, the roots are going up and the branches are going down. So this material world is like a reflection of the spiritual world. And the festivals in the spiritual world are amazing. And Golokya Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. This spiritual world festivals are descending here also, wherever devotees are coming together to hear and chant about the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So before I begin, I'd like to take the blessings of all the devotees that are present, and I may speak for my own purification. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, this Nrisingadev Leela is written in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana. Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam, Shukumukad Mita Dhrava Samyutam, Kripita Bhagavatam Rasanalayam, Mahura Horasika Puvibahuka. In the third shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained, Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam, that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree, of the tree of the Vedic literatures. Of a tree, the ripened fruit is the best part. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the best part of all the Vedic literatures. Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam Shuka Mukana Mrita Drava Samyutam. Shukadev Goswami, Mukham, his mouth, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukra Mukad Amrit. Amrit is like nectar. Drava means semi-solid and soft. Who here likes mangoes? You like mangoes? Are they hard? Are they solid?
No.
No, kind of yet. Semi-solid.
Yeah.
So this is like Srimad Bhagavatam, semi-solid and soft, and is drava. Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam Shuka Mukad Amrita Drava, semi-solid and soft, Drava Samyutam. Pivata, you can actually drink it, you should drink. Pivata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. Ras means juice. Who here likes juice? I like juice. I like juice a lot. Juice is my favorite, and it's bona fide in Shastra. Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Bhagavatam is compared to juice. Juice is, Bhagavatam is the best thing, and it's compared to juice. So juice is also the best thing. Rasamalayam. Rasa means juice. Alayam means a place of. Like the material world is called Dukkalayam, it's a place of misery. And when you go to the restaurant, it's called Bhojalayam, right? A place to eat. So Bhagavatam is Rasamalayam. It's a place of rasa, a place of juice, a place of mellows. Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, Mohora Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. And it's heard, sung, accepted by even those souls who are liberated. It's accepted by even the topmost Paramahamsas, the greatest devotees, they accept Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended in this world, Krishna Varnam Tishwashi, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna, Sango Pangastra Parshadam, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer, Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. That Lord Chaitanya descended in this world along with his parishads, along with his associates, in order to distribute the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And he came to set the example of the topmost devotee to teach us how we should practice bhakti. And part of that was relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri for the second half of his life, from up to 24 years he lived in Navadvip, and then after 24 years he shifted to Jagannath Puri, and then up to the age of 48 he was there in Puri with the exception of 6 years when he traveled in South India. But for those many years, let's see, 24 minus 6 is 18, for those 18 years that he lived in Puri, he was associating very closely with Gadadhar Pandit, who all of us know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda. So Gadadhar, he was living in Jagannath Puri, and he was a pujari in the Toda Gopinath temple, which is just near the ocean in Jagannath Puri. So every day, Lord Chaitanya would go and spend 3 hours minimum with Gadadhar Pandit in Toda Gopinath temple. And do you know what they were doing? They were not just having darshan of Toda Gopinath. Every day, Gadadhar Pandit would recite Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 hours, and Lord Chaitanya would listen. He was relishing Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasa Malaya. He was relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit was very much empowered to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. He would recite like a canary bird, like a cuckoo bird, so sweet was his voice. And he would recite the shlokas in 6 different melodies. You can give them marks on their Bhakti Shastra for their 6 different melodies. I heard that you have to have the melody correct, right, to get full marks in Divyanam Prabhu's Bhakti Shastri course. So, just be fortunate he's not bringing you up to the standard yet of Gadadhar Pandit. But that may come, because by Divyanam Prabhu's association, anything is possible. So Gadadhar Pandit was beautifully daily reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya was listening. He would recite Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes. He would go gradually through the cantos. He'd come to the 7th canto to Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes. And Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes and Lord Nisimhadev's pastimes in the 7th canto, it's not a short section. It's many, many chapters. It's practically the whole volume. It's very vast. And when Lord Chaitanya was hearing the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, it was not that he was saying, Gadadhar, hurry up, I want to get to the Rasalila section. No, Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to hear the section of Prahlad Stuti. And actually, he would ask Gadadhar Pandit to repeat this section of Srimad Bhagavatam 100 times before moving on to the 8th canto. Gadadhar Pandit would chant the whole section of Dhruva Maharaj and Nisimhadev, and then Lord Chaitanya would say, say it again! Say it again! Say it again! And then he'd go back to the beginning of the canto and he'd read through the whole pastime. And then he'd come to the end, and then again Lord Chaitanya would say, say it again! Say it again! Say it again! And like this, it went on 100 times before moving to the next section. So this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. And we should understand its importance also to us. And I'm sure Lord Chaitanya didn't go through Srimad Bhagavatam only one time with Gadadhar Pandit. You know, he was there for 18 years and every day 3 hours a day. And I don't think they were reading purports, right? I don't know. But chances, maybe they were not reading purports, so they're going through the verses. So maybe dozens of times he went to 100 hearings of Prahlad Stuti and this section. So, how did this pastime come about in the 7th canto? What is happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So, Maharaj Parikshit is speaking with Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami is narrating the section where Yudhisthira Maharaj is conducting a Rajasuya Yajna. And as part of the Rajasuya Yajna, one of the personalities that are present will be glorified as the greatest personality there. So Krishna was present there. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, he kind of planned this all as a great big preaching program so he could declare that Krishna is the greatest personality. So he conducted the yajna, and then they declared Krishna to be the greatest personality, and everyone there was very happy with the exception of Shishupal. Now Shishupal was envious of Lord Krishna since Shishupal's birth. Practically, his very first words opening his mouth was blasphemy of Krishna. Now, many of us, we have children here, and they start talking and they say dada or mama or papa. Or I was with His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, and he was telling me that his story from his grihastha life before he took sannyas. He and his wife were in New Mayapur in France. They had a son, small baby, not yet talking. And they were always talking about Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada is coming, Prabhupada is coming. And then Prabhupada came to New Mayapur. And New Mayapur is like a bit of a chateau, like a castle. And Prabhupada was up on the second, third floor looking out the window. And the little boy saw Prabhupada. So the little boy went, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Those were his first words. So his mother was like, ah, yes, a ray of Vishnu. I knew it. She's very proud of him. So little children, they speak all different words, you know, when they are very, very small. But Shishupal's first words were just insults and blasphemy of Krishna. And it was just going on his whole life. To such an extent that at one time the situation arose that if he would blaspheme Krishna 100 times continuous, more than 100 times, then Krishna would kill him. But if he would take a break, then he would be saved. So this is kind of interesting. He was blaspheming and blaspheming and blaspheming. So here we are in the Raja Surya sacrifice, and Krishna's declared the greatest, and then Surya, Shishupal, he can't handle it, so he starts blaspheming Krishna, and Krishna's counting 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, and this time, Shishupal, he just couldn't contain himself in 101. So, Lord Krishna, he took his Sudarshan Chakra. Knocked his head right to the ground. So it's interesting because for Shishupal, he's counting, and when he went above a number, he went above 100, that was his death. But for us, we're supposed to chant 16 rounds. If we go under that number, for us, that's our spiritual death. So we should be very careful, those of us who are initiated devotees, to all maintain that number. You know, Shishupal went above, that was his death, but if we go below, that is our death. So we should maintain our minimum of 16 rounds. So when Shishupal left his body, because Krishna cut off his head, everyone there present could see the Atma, the soul of Shishupal, enter into Krishna's body. And that meant he attained liberation. So Yudhisthira Maharaj was amazed. He was there, and Narada Muni was there. And he said, oh, Narad, how is it possible that we see great demons like King Vena? King Vena went to hell, but Shishupal got liberation. How is it possible? Yudhisthira was bewildered. So then Narada Muni began to explain to him. So now King Yudhisthira was really disturbed. And in the shloka he says, my mind is like a candle that has been disturbed by the wind. You know, my mind is very much agitated, so please explain this to me. It's interesting how Yudhisthira Maharaj is so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness that, you know, Vena went to hell, but Shishupal got liberation. So how is it possible? For us, we'd be saying, when's Prashadam, you know? Okay, he got killed, what's next? You know, like that. But Yudhisthira is really inquiring. So then Narada Muni gave the history of Shishupal. And he spoke about how Shishupal was fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in an envious way. He was always envious of Krishna. Just like we see Kamsa. When Kamsa was keeping Devaki and Vasudeva in the prison cell, he was always thinking, oh, Krishna's going to be my death. He'd eat breakfast and he'd see Krishna in his plate. Ah, he'd freak out. He'd see Krishna while he was looking in the mirror. He'd see Krishna in a reflection in a pool. He was just always thinking of Krishna. But it was not favorable, but still he was always thinking of Krishna. And it's better to think about Krishna in an unfavorable way than not to think about Krishna at all. Even if we think about Krishna in an unfavorable way, it's beneficial. However, this is not our line. It's not that you should go home and start blaspheming Krishna and then you think you'll get liberation. Madhvacharya explains you blaspheme Krishna and you go to hell. So we should not try this technique. Our Rupa Goswami, he explains, Anya vilasita shunyam jnana karma anavratam anakulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama. He says that we should practice bhakti that is not tinged by karma or jnana. Anya vilasita shunyam, zero. There should be absolutely no tinge of karma or jnana. There should be no desire for fruitive activities. I was studying one verse in Hindi. Fal deta hum. May fal deta hum. Krishna says, may fal deta hum. I give them fruit. But we should not desire fruit. We should just desire to serve Krishna. Anya vilasita shunyam jnana karma anavratam anukulyena. Anukul means favorable. We should serve Krishna in a favorable way. Was Shishupal serving Krishna in a favorable way? No. Was Kamsa serving Krishna in a favorable way? No. But we should serve Krishna in a favorable way. What are some examples of some devotees serving Krishna favorably? Narada Muni serving Krishna favorably, Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, and the Cowherd Boys, and Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, all these devotees are serving Krishna favorably, so we should follow in the footsteps of these kinds of devotees. And ultimately Krishna says, Man mana bhava mat bhakto majjajimam namaskuru mame vashasi satyante pratijane priyo sime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me, bow down before me, because then surely you'll come to me. I'm telling you this because you are my very dear friend. So anyone who thinks of the Lord will benefit, whether it's favorable or unfavorable. But we should be in the mood of worshiping Krishna favorably. So then, Narada Muni explained to King Yudhisthira that actually, the reason that Shishupal got liberation was there's actually a story behind this. He's different from King Vena. Because one time, the four Kumaras, they were traveling to Vaikuntha. They wanted to see Vishnu. They wanted to see Lord Narayana. And they came to the gates of Vaikuntha, and there are two gatekeepers there. The gatekeepers were called Jai and Vijay. They're like immigration officers. You know, you have to get through. So the four Kumaras, although they're older, then all the other sons of Lord Brahma, still they looked like four or five-year-old boys. And they were Digambar. They were wearing only the 10 directions. So they came to the gates of Vaikuntha, and they were entering to meet Lord Narayana, and Jayan Vijay saw them and stopped them. Wait, come back when you're grown up in bhakti. You cannot come in like this now. So the four Kumaras became very angry, and they said, you're not qualified to be here in Vaikuntha because you're judging us based on a bodily conception of life, just based on our bodies. So we're going to curse you. We curse you to take birth in the earth planet in a demoniac family. And as this cursing was going on, Vishnu and Lakshmi Devi, they come running to the scene because Vishnu's servants are getting cursed here. And Vishnu said, actually, if the servant commits a fault, it's the master who is to blame. But anyway, they had already been cursed. So they were cursed to take 3 births in the material world as demons. One as this Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Shishupal and Dantavakra. So they came, and Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu's brother, was killed by Varahadev, the boar incarnation. They were fighting underneath the ocean, and at one point Hiranyaksha just kind of tapped him, you know, on the chin, and tapped him, and boom, he lost his life. Mardenge, huh? Shri Varahadeva Bhagavan Ki Jai. So then Hiranyakashipu was so angry. He killed my brother. His whole family was upset. It's not just that they were 2 brothers, you know, they were mother and sister and all family members were there. So Hiranyakashipu was so angry that he told all his ministers, you know, go and destroy Brahminical culture. Because if the Brahmanas are killed, go Brahman Hataya Cha, then Vishnu will become killed. So go and break down all the trees and destroy all the yajnas and create havoc. So all the demons did that. There were no yajnas, all the yajnas were stopped. And then the demigods were disturbed because they were not getting their sacrifices. And they appealed to Vishnu for help. And Vishnu said, don't worry. When Hiranyakashipu tries to disturb my devotee Prahlad, then I'll kill him. So Hiranyakashipu was giving consolation to his relatives that my brother has died, your relative has died. And he was preaching to them, you're not this body. So if the demons can preach, we can also hopefully preach. Natvamevaham jatunasam najayate riyate vakadachinna bhutvana bhavata vana bhuyaha ajonicham shasvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. For the soul there's neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So like this, Hiranyakashipu is preaching Bhagavad Gita philosophy to his demoniac relatives that we're not this body, we're eternal. So they should not grieve. And he says, don't be attached to your family members. He tells one story of a Kalinga bird. The father bird sees his wife get caught in the net of a hunter. And then the father bird is lamenting, oh, my wife has been caught in the net. I will miss her. Who will take care of the children? Who will feed them? I am missing her wonderful sweet voice and her warm affectionate embraces. How can I live without her? And he was in so much anxiety, and at that time the hunter saw the father bird and took his bow and arrow and shot the man bird also, the husband also. So Hiranyakashipu is explaining that this is life in the material world, that any padam padam, yavi padam, natesham is danger at every step. At any time we could go, we should not be attached to these temporary designations. And then, after consoling his family members, he said, now I will prepare to take revenge on Lord Vishnu. And he began performing austerities. And these austerities were very, very great austerities. He was standing on his tiptoes with his hands high in the air for 100 celestial years. Now, all of us have difficulty in the kirtan. You know, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're saying, okay, hands in the air, right? And we can make it maybe one or two mantras, then our hands get tired. We don't have to put them down. But Hiranyakashipu, with his arms up, is standing on his tiptoes for 100 celestial years. And he was standing on an ant hill. And these are the kind of ants that eat people. And they were chewing on him and chewing on him. And they ate away all of his flesh. And they drank all of his blood. And all that was left was his bones. But he was so much performing tapasya that he was able to maintain his life air within his body. Now this is real tolerance. This is real tapasya. Matras parashas tukanteya shitoshna shukadugada agama payanona chas tams tatikshasva bharata. That you should learn to tolerate the happiness and distress and disturbances for the sake of your spiritual life. But Hiranyakashipu is tolerating so much heat and cold and all the ants just eating away his body just so he could get some powers in order to defeat Vishnu. So after 100 celestial years, so much austerity was doing that flames started coming out of his head and smoke, and it started filling the whole universe. And all the demigods were getting disturbed again. And Lord Brahma came down on the scene to see what was going on. So Lord Brahma appears on his swan carrier, and he sees this great anthill with the smoke and the flames coming out of it. And he said, oh, this must be the place where Hiranyakashipu is. So then he dug out Hiranyakashipu out of the anthill. And Hiranyakashipu, Dandavat Pranam, fell at the feet of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma said, what can I do for you? And Hiranyakashipu says, I want a benediction. He said, I want to become immortal. And Brahma said, but I cannot give you something that I do not have. So then Hiranyakashipu, he said, all right, then I do not want to be killed inside any residence or outside as any residence. I do not want to be killed in the daytime or the nighttime. I do not want to be killed by any man or any animal. I do not want to be killed by any weapon. I do not want to be killed during the daytime or nighttime. I mentioned that. What's that?
On the earth or sky.
Oh, thank you. I do not, how, what, when, where, right, where. I do not want to be killed on the land or on the sky. And I want to have all mystic cities. And then Lord Brahma said, Tatastu, so be it. So then, and he said, I want to have dominion. I want to be overlording, overruling the entire universe. So then the Lord Brahma, he left that place giving those benedictions to Hiranyakashipu, who was prepared to destroy Lord Vishnu. So we'll discuss this more next time we meet. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tagore Premanande.
Questions, sir? You can take a few questions. Who would like to ask any questions?
Why do the demons ask bad things, you know, and not the good things?
Why do demons ask bad things and not the good things?
He did so much austerity.
He did so much austerity. Why not ask for something good? Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma navratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. The mood of a devotee is he does not want anything for himself. He just wants to serve Krishna. He doesn't want any phal detahu. He doesn't want any fruits for himself. He's selfless. On the other hand, in contrast, the demon, he wants everything for himself and nothing for others. It's a me first, aham mameti, I, me, mine. So by nature of their character, by nature of their, just who they are, their nature, because their goals and motivations are selfish, then naturally they'll ask for a selfish benediction. It's according to their nature. Unfortunately, they may know better, or they may also be in ignorance. If someone was to give that knowledge, spiritual knowledge, then someone may make a better choice. Some people are innocent and some people are envious. The people who are innocent, if you give them spiritual knowledge, they'll ask for the good benediction. The people who are envious, if you give them spiritual knowledge, they'll ask for the wrong benediction and they may become more envious. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, in the 15th verse, 4 demoniac kinds of people do not approach him. He says, Namam duskriti no mudha prapadyante naranama maya parita jnanam asuram bhavam asrita. He says, 4 kinds of demoniac people, they do not approach me. Namam duskritino mudha. Mudha, not necessarily demoniac people, but these are people that do not approach Krishna. Mudha is just someone who works very hard like an ass. He's got, like a donkey is carrying a big load all day long. At the end of the day, just eats some grass. And sometimes they put a carrot, gaja, they put a carrot in front of the donkey so that he will walk. So some people are like that anyway. They're just working and working and working and working, and you try to tell them something about spiritual life and they just say, I'm too busy, I have no time, I'm working too hard. So some people have that ass-like mentality. Namam duskritino mudha Prapadyante Naradamaha. Naradamaha is the lowest of mankind. They're always intoxicated. They're just in tamagun. They're very, very low. Tamagunis. Maya Parita Jnana. Their knowledge is stolen away by illusion. Just like you say, I want to discuss Bhagavad Gita with you. They say, no, I have a science conference now. I have to go and attend the science conference, or I'm writing some poetry, or you know, I'm involved in studying for my PhD on the bird calls of the parrot. One of my old college friends, he just got his PhD, and he did his thesis on the sounds that the birds are making. You know, I mean, people can spend hundreds and thousands of hours. And you say, would you like to hear about Bhagavad Gita? No time. But he's happy to study the chirpings of birds. So this is Maya Parita Jnana. Knowledge is stolen away by illusion. And then, Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. The Asuric Bhav. Some people are just demoniac in nature. They're atheistic, Gnostic, the Gnostic Lok, and they think that the world is an illusion, they think the world is unreal, they think that it's only based on sex desire. Because of this sex desire, there's mating going on, and there's no God, and that's why things are carrying on. They say it's all based on sex desire. There's a whole chapter in Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, the divine and demoniac natures. So demoniac nature is more in detail described there and helps us identify, oh, this is demoniac nature. So when one has this asura bhavam, then one will not ask for a good benediction. Good meaning anukulyena Krishna, favorable to Krishna consciousness. But one will ask for pratikul, which means unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, Prabhu.
So when you were saying about demonic nature, so I was thinking, like, sometimes, you know, we all, I mean, I can say for myself, like, sometimes we have this mixed kind of nature. Sometimes we would like to, you know, serve in an anukul way, but sometimes we just focus ourselves or, you know, have some other mentality. So how to overcome that demonic nature, you know, which is also present in us?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a how-to question. I heard, like in Satya Yuga, there were so many devotees and so many demons, and there were much more devotees and less demons, mm-hmm. like 75%, 25%. And then Treta Yuga, about 50-50, and Dwapara Yuga, 25% devotees and 75%. Yeah?
Kali Yuga, all demons.
Kali Yuga, you have demons and devotees together in the same body. You know, in your heart you got both sides.
Right, exactly.
Like sometimes you have the cartoon where the person is thinking, what should I do? And one angel comes up and says, you should do the right thing. And one devil comes up and says, you should do the wrong thing. Mm. We have these both in the heart. Mm. The American Indians, they have a nice kind of proverb about this, that there's a good dog and a bad dog. And the good dog is saying you should do the right thing, and the bad dog is saying you should do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And it just depends which dog is stronger. So we have to feed the good dog and starve the bad dog. Yehi samsparsha javoga dukha yunaiva evate yadanta vanta kanteya nate shu ramate buddha. That we should know that if we engage in sense gratification, it's just dukkha yonayava evite. It's misery is just going to come from there. So starve that dog. Don't give it a chance to give you misery by feeding it with sense gratification. On the other hand, feed the good dog, By giving it the Anukulyena Krishnanu, the favorable aspects of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Abhani Vedam, which is actually teaching of Prahlad Maharaj, which we'll learn about later next week. So we feed the good dog, and then when that good dog becomes stronger, then that bad dog will not show his face so often. And then we'll be able to Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Does that answer your question, Prabhu? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
His Grace Eklavya Prabhu Ki Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
So we like to thank Eklavya Prabhu for his kindness and Nectarian Narasimha Katha. So as Prabhuji mentioned, we have this wonderful festival coming up. So we'll be celebrating this Narasimha Chaturdashi festival on Saturday, which is the actual day. We'll be celebrating it right here in the evening. It's a festival, dusk festival. So Narasimha Dev appeared at dusk. So we'll be celebrating this festival at 5:30, starting 5:30 right here. And we'll be having nice Narasimha Katha and a lot of nice other celebrations. So we request all the devotees to please attend that festival. And also by Krishna's arrangement, you know, we have His Grace Eklavya Prabhu staying with Richmond devotees for one more week. So we only have one weekend coming up with him for now. So, and we were planning on doing some Harinam. It's the, you know, best thing. And every time Eklavya Prabhu visited us, we went out and chanted holy names out in the streets. So this time also, we are planning. So we only have Saturday and Sunday. So, how many people vote for Saturday? Doing Harinam on Saturday.
What time?
Let's decide on date first, and then...
Okay, you announced that we're having a 5:30 program here.
Yes, yes. So,
so if you want to do before or after, or what?
No, definitely be before.
Okay. If,
yeah, then prasadam. So Sunday, that's what we're saying? Sunday, after the program?
Sunday.
Harina?
After the program,
we have program
yeah.
Also.
Oh, okay, program. Oh,
yeah, because one is...
Yeah.
So only Harinam on Sunday. Is that what all the devotees are proposing?
Not all, just a few, but you should check.
Okay, so maybe we'll discuss more and we'll send out more information on email. We'll have a Harinam next weekend with His Grace Eklavya Prabhu. And so I think that's it. And we request all the Bhakti Shastri devotees, as they ordered me to stay after the program, so we'll stay to discuss. So we have all the devotees here. Okay, almost. Okay. So again, thank you very much. Now we'll have Narasimha prayers and prasadam for all the devotees. But just wondering why we have now less devotees here. Oh, sick. Okay. So just you know, want to share the realization that, you know, we moved, you know, we did the transition. Thank you. So we did the transition recently. So